Hey y'all, thanks for tuning in to Girl Talk at the Dan Gable Museum. Today I have some extremely special guests that I am thrilled to have the opportunity to interview. We have Kathy, Jenny, Annie, Molly, and Mackie Gable on, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear this interview. I had so much fun. We are breaking up the Gable Girls interview into three parts, and this is part one on the queen behind the man, Dan Gable. Here is Kathy Gable. So first, Kathy, I kind of want to start with you. I want to know, can you tell us a little bit about the first time that you met Dan?
Well, I can't remember exactly the very first time I met him, but I did meet him when I was in high school. I went to West Waterloo to school, and which was at the time, you know, everybody was involved and interested in wrestling there. So I remember maybe being at a party where he was there, and he used to come back to Waterloo on weekends and do workouts when he was at Iowa State. And I just remember meeting him there, you know, just, he was just a regular guy there, you know, and,
You're 6 years younger than him.
I am. I'm 6 years younger than him. And
had a yard more. When you met him, was he already?
I was probably a junior in high school when I met him.
Okay.
I might have even been a sophomore, but because high school started your sophomore year. Ninth grade was junior high.
Okay.
So I may have been a sophomore in high school and met him. The people I all hung around were wrestling people. The guys were wrestlers. And
heard of him?
Yeah, but it wasn't like I thought, oh, it's Dan Gable, you know. And it was before the Olympics, so, you know, it was not a big deal, really. He was just there. I don't even know if there was other college-age guys there, but he was there because he was really good friends with the guys that I would hang out with. And, I remember when I first met him, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I would ever date him, let alone get married to him. It just wasn't something I thought about.
6 months later?
No. I started dating him after I was graduated. I graduated in 1973, and I started dating him in June of that year. And he had already won the Olympics. I remember watching him on TV win the Olympics.
There's a picture, actually, that's from the Des Moines Register.
Yeah.
Him like coming back from the Olympics and the people that were waiting at the airport.
Big welcome home ceremony at what was then called McElroy Auditorium. So we were all going, cheerleaders, everybody, and I was friends with all those girls, and we were all going, and as we were pulling up to McElroy, I remember there was someone outside the gate going, "It's called off, it's called off." And that was kind of a funny joke then for after that, because we still always
say
it's called off. And so then instead of us all just going home, we went to the airport because we heard that he was going to be coming in on a private plane with his parents, but nobody knew exactly when that was going to be. And I can't even remember why. I think it had to do with weather, why his flight didn't make it. It didn't have anything to do with the whole deal that went on in Munich. I know that's why he came home early, but I don't think that's what delayed him from getting into Waterloo. I think it was weather.
Who were you with?
It was just all my girlfriends.
You guys just decided to
go. We all just decided to stay and go out to the airport.
No, even just go to it? You were just like...
Well, everybody went to it in Waterloo. I mean, there was going to be a huge deal there. And they ended up doing it then later on another day. Yeah, we just went out to the airport and waited. I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning when he finally got in.
How many were left of people to greet him?
There was probably 50 or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the mayor of Waterloo was still there.
Yeah, because that picture of the mayor's in it.
Yeah.
That's way awesome.
And then I remember the next day, or like later on, a few days later, I went over to his house with a couple of my little nieces and nephews, and they wanted to have their picture taken with Dan and his gold medal. And I still have those pictures, I think, somewhere in my photo album. And there, too, I was just his friend. I wasn't his girlfriend or anything like that.
You guys ended up starting to date that's the next summer.
After graduation, I started dating him, yeah.
Okay.
He just started calling me.
Do you know? Do you know why? Did he just? Did y'all like hang out or something? And then he started calling.
Yeah.
He was a total hottie.
No. I remember asking or telling my mom about him and asking her, you know, do you think it's all right? Because at that time he was 24 maybe, and I was 18. And
what'd she say?
Well, she was happy about it. You gotta understand, I was the youngest of 10 children.
Oh, wow.
And there were 8 girls in my family. So my mom was, of course, thrilled to have me dating somebody, you know, that was a good person.
So I want to know a little bit about, when did you know, when you and Dan were dating, that he was the one?
I don't remember exactly when that happened. But I do remember when we were sitting in his parents' living room, and we talked about getting married, and it was in October of that same year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was his parents there? Or was
no,
just the two of
no,
you?
It was just the two of us. We were sitting like watching TV or something.
Oh wow.
And we talked about the fact that he was living in Iowa City and I was in Waterloo, and maybe me moving to Iowa City, but there was no way that my parents would ever allow me to move in with him. So it was like, okay, well then maybe we should get married, basically was it. And we had decided then we were going to get married the next June. And I think the date was June 25th. That kind of sticks in my mind. And we had it, you know, back then you used to put your wedding engagement in the newspaper, woman would put her picture in there, and there would be a big write-up about her engagement, and I remember it being then, and then it came out that the U.S. Nationals were going to be held that same weekend, and all of the guys that Dan was going to have in the wedding were going to be wrestling in it, and so he said, we got to change the date, so we decided on May 18th, so that's...
You missed out on your favorite band.
Yeah, I know. We
why did you miss out on your favorite band?
Because they couldn't rebook us to a different date, so.
But then what happened?
So then we actually did, none of us knew that about their wedding. I didn't even know that you guys changed the date until I read my dad's book, and it said that. So this was like 4 years ago or whatever when that came out. And then, it mentioned that they had this favorite band, that they were disappointed that they couldn't rebook, and it was their 40th wedding anniversary, and so
a few years ago, right?
This is like 4 years ago. Yeah. So we I looked them up, and they were still together.
No,
and
honey.
So
they're
then we went.
They're
they were playing.
Like the water
that.
We were. They were playing in the next one of the next towns
winery
over.
Or something.
And no, it's not that bad.
It was Fireside.
Winery in Williamsburg, and we took them as a surprise. So that's how we celebrated their.
It was
awesome.
So
fun. Yeah, it was really
I was like,
fun.
They would have been fun at our wedding.
They were so fun. And so they couldn't believe it. They were still, 40 years later, they were still together, the band. And they, so we went.
That's amazing. What a fun way to celebrate your 40th.
It wasn't our 40th.
It was your 40th, but we had,
your
anniversary was in May, and this was like in the fall.
The fall.
Like a great night.
Yeah,
it was fun. Everybody was dancing.
Y'all's opinion, what makes your mom such a great mother and grandmother?
Oh boy, do I need to step out?
Yeah.
Or is there anything?
Next question. Okay, I'll say, because we just had that article that we wrote about her.
You didn't write it.
Well, we all contributed. No, family is first, and that's probably the most important thing.
And I feel like you could probably get that from what we're saying. Like, our life revolved around wrestling because it was family first. Like, we went as a family.
It was never a question,
and she didn't let it be a question. Like, it wasn't like, should we go or should we not, Dan? It was like, or like, do you want us around?
We
don't want us around
either.
It was like, it was just, we all just
did
stuff.
She's very organized and
very much just like the epitome of a coach's wife. Like, what you would want for a coach's wife. Like, I don't think I could ever handle being a coach's wife. I mean, I know I could not. she totally handled it and could handle it, you know, just, it was just, that's how life was, you know, just
very much. She's a coach's wife.
She, well, she's very much like you with that, you know, just always
can't
very,
be very selfish.
Well, yeah, and like she, you treated the wrestlers, the wrestlers were like your family.
No, I'm just, no, not you, I'm just saying.
Yes,
selfish.
So
I did not mean that.
I did not mean that at all.
Put that in the notes.
Oh, God, please put that in the notes.
Because
okay, in all seriousness, though, like, she embraced it. She would always make the team dinners, you know, and
there really wasn't ever, like, she never questioned anything. Like, if it was, like, there was a guy in trouble, like, with Greg Randall, like, needed a place, he's here. Like,
well, there were times that I told your dad that he needed to kick certain guys off the team.
Yeah.
And that's when your dad really got mad one time and threw a chair in the kitchen.
I remember the chair throwing, but I didn't know that
was
happening.
Because I told him that a certain kid needed to be kicked off the team. I had it with all of the issues that he was.
But see, my dad never gave up on anyone.
No,
right?
He didn't.
He never gave up on anyone.
I feel like he would sometimes bring his work home with him, and it was not always the best. So, the chair throwing.
I mean, he had his, definitely had his moments.
Not all the time.
Most of the times, I felt like it revolved around, like, he didn't get a workout in.
Mm-hmm.
But that was another thing about, like, super, like,
accommodating.
I mean, I don't know another wife.
Same way.
I don't know another wife that would be like that. I really don't.
Go with the flow.
Well, more like
but
just go with
his
flow.
His flow.
It's like, you don't, I mean, we know, we do not stay at a hotel unless they have a hot tub or sauna. And it's like,
we're going through that right now.
Because COVID.
Well, and like, she'd be dragging along all these kids with her, and it's not like she would be looking for a hotel that would have, like, fun things for the kids to do around the hotel or, like, a swimming pool. It was strictly like, does this have a workout room, and does it have a sauna, or does it have a hot tub, like, for my dad? Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, she laid out all of his clothes. Underwear included. Like, you know, I mean, and like, there were very rarely, I mean, I can only remember a handful of times when you were sick. I don't really remember you being gone.
I don't feel
I mean,
like
there were two
much.
Times where you were gone, and both times I broke a bone or something. Remember, I broke my arm and you weren't there. Dad had to take me. And then, like, when I had to have the stitches in my forehead, you weren't around. I don't know what those situations were, but he just took me to the training room. Instead of taking me to the ER, take me to the Carver training room. But
the only place he knows where to go.
But, you know, she always was so accommodating and still is for time. Like, he has to have his workout in and, you know, you don't mess with that. But that was kind of the times where he would blow up.
I feel like it was a lot too, like, around Nationals time just because of the, I don't know.
I do remember some Christmas. One time there was a mug thrown.
Oh, it was Christmas time. There was a mug
probably
thrown on the Christmas tree.
But then,
otherwise,
not at us.
If anything was ever thrown, it was me.
Maybe that happened at practice, and then he was thinking about it, and then maybe one thing.
I would probably trigger it because I was always the one.
You would never. You could not fight.
Yeah. I usually trigger the problems. Like, I remember a glass Gatorade bottle being thrown at me in the back seat.
First off, a glass Gatorade?
I know, isn't that funny? In the back seat of the van. I think I changed my order at the drive up. That was something never did.
No.
Never.
My dad and drive-thru.
Never change your order in a drive-thru.
I can't even handle a drive-thru.
Drove up to the drive-thru and drove right back.
We have a good impression of him. Here's my dad's impression of a drive-thru. One small Coke. And then you'd be like, fucking. And just try it. Throw a Gatorade bottle or whatever. One time he freaked out when we were driving the motor home.
We rented a motor home to come home. Best vacation ever, though.
Yeah,
it was the best vacation.
So awesome.
She was only like one,
so
but it was
remember,
the best vacation.
But I remember
I was
in kindergarten.
She got potty trained on that trip.
But we,
He got really mad. I do remember that he had to have been mad because he didn't get, like, a workout in. Like, that was what really it was. But I do remember that I said that the New Kids on the Block were hot. And he didn't like earrings, and they had earrings. And he took my People magazine, and he ripped it up, and he threw it out the window. And he threw a TV out the window as we were driving down the interstate.
He didn't throw it out the window because we still used it on the trip, but he got mad at
and
it.
Threw
he got
it.
Mad at the TV. At
but he did not like that I said the New Kids on the Block were hot. Ripped up my People magazine that had them on the cover.
Danny has a shirt that says something weird about, like, Dan Gable is, what is it? And he doesn't wear an earring. And
probably, he just did not, he does not like earrings. He still doesn't like earrings. He just, but he was not happy about that. And then there's a couple holes in my door. I think it's been fixed, but they stayed there for a while.
Every door upstairs had a hole, or the locks were all broken.
Because if you lock the door, it was always me. But if I would run up and lock the door on him,
the door, and so somebody would come up, either mom or dad, and like kick the door down. So
I mean, I think it was dad. I don't know. I remember kicking
it in once.
He kicked it in. He punched the thing.
But she would always run up and slam the door shut and lock it. So then he would just knock it down.
it just didn't lock then after that. But mostly, like, the big blow-ups of him were probably because he just didn't get his usual.
He usually got really stressed before a trip for some reason. It was like he was.
Still does.
Yeah. Before any kind of a trip, he would get really
anxious.
Yeah, real anxious about stuff. And
but then I do also remember, this doesn't have to do with that, but other things that, you know, he would do. Well, like I said, if we were at church, the bulletin would be filled with notes, a napkin, always taking notes, always trying to get better. He'd think of something that he needed a wrestler to work on, or personally, or in the wrestling room, or just something, and he was always taking notes, writing notes. But I remember when, after Lincoln McAlready lost in the finals, and Iowa won the NCAAs that year, and it should have been like this big celebration, but Lincoln lost. It was in Iowa City, and we went to Hawaii, and we got to Hawaii, and we went to, like, Planet, what's that? It wasn't Hard Rock Cafe, but it was Planet Hollywood for dinner. And we went to the weirdest places. We always went to, like, Denny's on, like, spring break. We went to Planet Hollywood. I don't know, but they were, the NCAAs used to not be live. They would, like, preempt them to, like, the middle of the night. But in Hawaii, the middle of the night was dinner time or whatever it was. So we were, they were playing it. Do you guys remember this? They were playing the NCAAs on the thing. And he had to rewatch Lincoln's match. And it was just, like, we were, like, depressed. Like, it was like we were on this trip to Hawaii, and it was like we were at a funeral. And didn't you have to, like, threaten dad that we were going to go home, or he was going to have to leave or whatever if he didn't snap out of it? Because we were on this vacation together, but it was like it took a couple days.
It did, yeah.
But yeah, he just, I mean, it was hard for all of us, but he just really took everything.
And then, I mean, Lincoln now doesn't live that far.
I don't think that was the one that he got, we were really depressed. It was when we lost the 10th championship. We left to go to Hawaii the next day.
Okay.
And that was the
But
one.
I do remember watching Lincoln's match.
Yes, it was, but maybe not that.
That they didn't combine. Yeah. But yes, I do remember being at Planet Hollywood. I swear that's where we were.
But that's
and they were playing it on the bar.
Usually on vacation after Nationals every year on our spring break trip. And, like, honestly, like, he would go with, like, he always used the same kind of notepad a lot of times. I mean, he did it notes on anything, but he would always have those pads that you could flip this way, you know, and they were, like, this big. And he would just go through, he would just go through every
weight
class.
Yeah, you could see a whole stack of them.
And the match, and he would just write notes, and then he would redo it again, and he would rewrite 118, just go through the weight and do the match over in his head, and he would just, you would go through this pad, and it would be the same match. And the same, like, in just 118, and you go through it and write all the notes from the tournament and, like, each weight class and, like, what they could do, what they could have done, and, like, the whole thing. He'll be sitting by the pool. It was on the airplane. Then it's sitting by the pool. Then it's up in the hotel room, and he's just over and over again. Like, I'm
always
sure
taking notes.
Like,
notes.
He always
we have them.
He never threw out anything.
Okay, I was going to say, I mean, we
unless
boxes
he would get mad,
stuff.
And then he would take it to the bonfire pit and yeah, dump it.
But we also had a life out. I mean, we did have a life outside
right.
of wrestling as far as, like, we did go on trips to Hawaii. We went.
We always took a summer trip.
The motorhome trip. I
we
mean,
had
a
cabin
the
on the river in Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
We still do, which.
Yeah. And then, like, when we went on our trips to the training camps, like, I talked about this in that article, about how, like, I just remember, you know, it wasn't always about wrestling. I mean, we went to Vacation Bible School on the trip.
We went to camp. We went,
yeah.
You know, we did all sorts of things,
yeah.
too.
Dance
we
class.
Were normal,
so
too.
So that, I have to, you know, you give her credit for that.
Yeah.
Normal, like, we did do
because it could have been, like, we were so busy all the time that then we didn't do anything else, you know.
Well,
but we still did everything.
You know, and, like, when we would go to Lansing and stay at the cabin and that kind of stuff too. So we definitely got out of wrestling. When we go to the cabin, there is Wrestler's Hill.
Dad didn't have like, it's not like we had like all these other friends too. Like Dad didn't have like all these other friends that weren't wrestling. I mean, everybody was, that's just all of our life, you know, like, I mean, Mungers and, and we didn't do wrestling stuff with them, but that's how we knew everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we were also friends with, like, other coaches' kids, and that was fun, too. Like, Hellickson's, and we would go to wrestling tournaments, and they were,
yeah,
because
he was, like, Ohio State's wrestling coach, and so, like, I just remember running the halls of hotels and, like, getting in trouble for going up and down the glass elevators with the Hellickson twins. And
yeah.
They were closer in age to my age, but then they had daughters, too, that were closer in age to them. But we would go and hang out with them.
So it was like, it was so fun. I mean, I think about how different it would be now because you would be connected with these people all the time. Like, you'd be Snapchat friends with them or Facebook or whatever. And it's like, we just saw them, you know, random weekends and just hope they'd be there. Or, you know, but they.
I feel like you had, like, really good systems in place as a mother with, like, the lifestyle you had. For example, if you walk up to my bedroom right now and go by the light switch, there's a little blue piece of paper that's taped and it says, "Did you make your bed?" ? So like those little things, like she would have like those little systems in place that made it successful. Did you make your bed? So every time I left my room, I'd read that. Did I make my bed?
Did you
did
always
you
go
make
my
bed?
No.
Not always.
I never
did.
Really
think
about it.
You guys always made your beds growing
did
up.
Though.
I
made
my
bed.
I
made
beds
my
now.
I always made my bed.
Maybe I made
I
my bed, but I also
had
a bunk bed and it was kind of. I make my bed almost every day, and sometimes it might not be right away. It might be like before I go to bed, but
yeah.
I still make my bed. But it's funny, if you go up into all the bedrooms, there's a little
there's
note.
There's still
that
like
says,
a note.
Or did you turn your light off? That was another one too. Did you turn the light off?
Yeah. I just felt like I always, like, even, like, with my kids today, like, as a grandmother, like, something that you do very well is, like, feeding people.
That's your
love
Plain
language.
Me,
love
sure.
language of feeding and, like, folding laundry.
Yeah.
You like to fold laundry?
And she likes to change bed sheets.
She likes it, but she does it.
I'm
bed sheets.
Do it.
Really good at
oh man
that's definitely
I
her
need
love
to
language.
Borrow you
yes
I hate folding clothes
but every
you
time
know
I
what the system is you fold it as soon as you take it out of the dryer
right
don't
and
let it pile up
yeah something she always says is like I never had laundry pile up because I'd start a load in the morning
I always,
and I would
I
fold
have stinky
it
workout gear there
and
so I had
it in the afternoon and
yeah.
She had four daughters and she'd have stinky workout gear so I actually always think about that I'm like laundry
sometimes
my
I
mom
hide,
always told me
sometimes
that,
like, I hide my laundry.
She never
my
has laundry.
Over.
True.
Throw it in the closet.
So, well, I used to have a laundry. My laundry was like in the entry of our house, like before we did our remodel. And if I knew my mom was coming over, I would put my dirty clothes in my car.
I don't understand why you think that.
Because you never give it a little side eye.
You come over with your judgy laundry eyes.
True.
You got your judgy laundry eyes.
That's why she put her laundry room upstairs. You can't see it now.
I'm shut the door.
Gosh, I shouldn't have put it right where you walk
in. I know.
That's
your laundry.
That helps me get it done, is having it right when you walk in. Because then I feel like, yes, I have to have it done, or I have to hide it, you know, and it's like.
And that's just too much work to hide it.
Yeah.
I feel you. Mm-hmm. So, Kathy, if you had one piece of advice to give to a new coach's wife, what would it be?
Help me out here, girls.
Gosh.
I mean, you bring be like be, fun, I think be you, accommodating.
You, first of all, you have flexible. To love the sport that your husband coaches. And
don't I think like immerse your family in it and yeah. just like, oh, yeah. like embrace it.
Embrace mm-hmm. it, be accommodating, but don't lose yourself. I mean,
right.
Or learn about
yeah,
it.
And or learn to love it, you mm-hmm. know. And be very accommodating to what his needs are to be a successful coach. You know, understand what it is that he needs, you know, but and just understand that you're not going to have him around, you know, certain hours of the day. You know, you're going to have to learn to be able to do a lot of things without him around. And if you want him to be successful, you know.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, I think for some people, it's not as important. I mean, mm-hmm. it just was really important to us for him to be successful. And some people aren't, and that's okay, too. You know, some people
maybe
just
their
don't.
Husbands aren't getting the success either, but Dan was successful, and so it made it where you wanted to be a part of it because of the success, and it was a lot of fun, you know.
But I think a lot of the reason it was successful was because he had a family that was a part of it and embraced it, and you know, just mm-hmm. if it's not for you, then you got to decide that as a family, that you know. Mm-hmm. But if I learned from my dad, my mom, and my, you know, because now that I'm a coach's wife, it's just, you know, people may say, oh, it's not, you know, it's not fair. Like, you're not getting your fair share because you're a coach's wife and it's all about him. And it's like, well, I know what I signed up for and that's what I want, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I would hope that you would have stood your ground and been like, no, this is not what I want or something like mm-hmm. that. But it's like,
he didn't just take the job without asking, you know, too, but
are you talking about Brian or?
Well, yeah, like,
he or Dad or
yeah,
the job.
Sure they all, right, and I'm mm-hmm. sure they talk about it, you know, and stuff.
Because, like, my mom never went to college.
No. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel like?
Oh, I always regret that I didn't go to college. I always.
You totally could have.
Yeah, I know I could have, but
can.
I didn't. Yeah, and
yeah,
I
do
still
it.
Could.
Do it.
Yeah, right. No.
But did you have, I don't think you ever felt like you were dealt the short hand of it.
No, it wasn't because Dan was saying, no, you can't go to
yeah.
college. No.
Yeah, no.
He never encouraged me to go either, which I think it was just a different time now. I think if it was now, I mean, that's why I encouraged all my daughters to get college degrees.
Well, no one
know?
Went to college really in your family.
Well,
right?
Nobody in my family did really, and it wasn't unusual for someone to not go to college. At least from the Waterloo area. I think it's different now, but, yeah. Wasn't something that my parents ever, said, you know, we want you to go.
I mean, you
have
didn't
a
have a career, you didn't have a job.
I didn't, no. And the thing is I always have told Dan, the only thing I ever really wanted to do in my life was to be a wife and a mom. I really did, and a lot of people will, like, look down at that and think that is not really... Why
fulfilling
would,
or something.
But that's what I wanted to do, and it has been fulfilling for me.
And you knocked
and
it out
and
of
I
park.
Took it on as a job. I took it on as my job.
And you should,
you know.
Well, I think to be a mom and a wife full time, you kind of have to make it a job too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of being very conscientious about where you're spending your time.
And I'm not saying that women shouldn't go out there and have careers on their own too, but it just wasn't something that I really wanted to do.
Like, you don't feel like you missed out.
No, I didn't. I do think I missed out on having a college education. You know, I think, you know, it was something. And maybe not even a 4-year school, going to a community college or something, you know, but, oh well. Maybe I will someday.
I think you should
do
it. I think you should. Yeah.
I think you would kick butt at it.
Yeah, right. As long as you guys help me with my homework.